Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider Review, broadcast 17. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
Nothing else to add?
Well, I was going to comment on your broadcast this time around.
What's wrong with it?
It's probably one of the best. It's better than Segment, like we had last week.
Segment has Apple qualities to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, what's in your fridge this week, IT?
So, an interesting one. In the fridge this week, we have got three bottles of varying sizes. We have got a Dunkerton's Browns. And we've tried a few Dunkerton's in the past, but never the Browns. So it's going to be an interesting one to give a go.
Looking forward to that.
We have a French one here, which says, I'll try and pronounce it, Cidre de Prat Rouge. Is that right?
Will I retranslate for our French listeners?
Please try.
Cidre de Prat Rouge.
Aye, see, close enough.
Yeah.
Which I believe your dad brought back from France.
He did.
And last but not least, we have here a 2-litre growler full of Thistley Cross's Jaggy Thistle. So
going to be a good show.
It shall be indeed. We shall get on to the growler part of it.
By my counts, we've got almost 4 litres of cider.
And 3 bottles.
Yep.
Oh, well, let's get started.
Okay, so first we go for the Dunkerton's Browns.
Yes, let's start off with the Dunkerton's Browns. Now, we're both fans of Dunkerton's.
Big fans of Dunkerton's.
I think Dunkerton's Premium Organic is currently my top cider.
And I would agree. I would agree.
I'm happy
mine
to
too.
Say that. The Black Fox I liked. Had too dry for my liking, but it's growing on me. And we've had the Perry before, which I think is very good, isn't it?
Yeah, we give it good marks as well.
But this is the Browns, which I picked up in the Lake District in a Booth's shop.
Medium dry.
Medium dry. What does it describe it
well,
as?
Well, it says Browns as the brand, and it says press fermented in bottles bottled at Dunkerton Cider Mill. So it's not necessarily...
No, Browns is the cider name.
Are you sure?
Yes, it's by Dunkerton's. Because if you look at the back, it's made only from the Browns apple. So let's give this a try.
I like that.
Ooh.
It's got its usual good Dunkerton's taste to
yep.
it.
Agreed. It says on the front medium dry because the Premium Organic's medium sweet, isn't it?
Yeah. But all their cider has a kind of dry quality to it, if not real dryness. It's got a kind of almost musky, nice muskiness to it.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. There's probably a more technical term to describe that, but I don't know what it is.
Well, maybe it's just different.
We do need to learn how to detect tannins and acidity and all that kind of stuff.
No, we don't. Because nobody gives a shit about tannins and acidity.
No, but at least then we know what we're actually sensing in a cider, so we can compare rather than just saying, "Oh, it's different."
Yeah.
But no, I like this. This almost for me drops in the middle of the Premium Organic, the medium sweet, and it's not as sweet as that, but it's not as dry as the Black Fox.
I like the Black Fox.
I like the Black Fox too. Don't get me wrong, but this. This is a nice balance between the two, I think.
It's got a more floral aspect to it. It's quite... When you smell it, you get the smell and the taste at the start as well, which is a slightly strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it does have quite a nice wee aroma.
I think I prefer the other 2 Dunkertons.
Okay.
Well, we've had 4 Dunkertons on the show before.
Including a Perry, yeah.
We had a...
We did have a completely different one. Yeah.
It was the original organic, which we didn't like.
Which, yeah, it'll be interesting to...
The Premium Organic we really liked. The Black Fox we liked. I think we liked them both.
It'll be interesting to seek out that first one we tried and see what we think now.
Yeah.
But no, I like this. Shame that I don't know anywhere in Edinburgh to buy it, or anywhere at all to buy it, other than Booth's in the Lake District. But...
So what are you giving it? What grade?
I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8?
Yes.
I'll go with that as well.
Ah, an agreement.
Yep.
Cool, so that's a 7.5%. Which actually, I think that's stronger than the... I can't remember what the Premium Organic is.
No, it is. That's stronger than the other two.
I think maybe that's... necessarily taste it.
No, I think it does a wee bit. Okay, right. Next up, we're going to France again.
Right. Now, careful here. We've got one of these top bottle things.
You've not put a towel down to protect...
I haven't put a towel down today. Just get ready with the glass. It shouldn't be shaken up. And I don't know if this... I presume it's going to be... sparkling. Oh, as he sprays me in the face with some. Good job, I was wearing my glasses.
It's all good. All under control.
Nice, it is under control. So
this is another Breton cider.
So this is the French Breton. That'll do. I just want to...
So it's from North Brittany.
Very fizzy. We've got quite
slightly stronger than your usual French cider, 5.5%.
Yeah.
It's from Penvenon, which is near Perrigiec in northern Brittany. So we're expecting the same kind of Breton cider that we've had before.
Yeah, it's a wee bit cloudy and it's quite dark.
Yeah, it says in the bottle, it's your usual standard French farmhouse cider.
Interesting smell.
Oh, Jesus.
See?
That goes straight up your nose, doesn't it?
Right.
Now, so it's going to be your usual French farmhouse cider, I think.
It could go one of two ways. It's either going down that Perry one, which was like blocked drains, or
good. No, it's not going to be.
So let's give it a sip.
Good.
Oh no, it's not. I like.
It's nice. It's like your good standard Breton farmhouse cider that we could drink happily for all day.
Yep.
And the good thing about Breton cider, I think, because it's a little bit, it's not as strong. If you're on an evening out, although you would never go for an evening out and just drink Breton cider, because unfortunately you can't get it. It's not readily available in Edinburgh. But you could quite happily do it. Whereas if you're having some stronger ciders, you couldn't maybe have as many as you'd like of them.
True. I like what you're thinking there. Now, I like this. It's got quite an initial nice taste to it, but the aftertaste kind of, there's not much of an aftertaste.
No.
To me, it kind of fizzles off. But it's very drinkable. It's got a decent initial flavour to it. And yeah, I like.
How do you think it compares to the other Breton farmhouse cider we had?
I honestly can't say.
The Cidre Fermier, which just means farmhouse
cider. It was a long time ago we tried that.
I think it's broadly the same. I've had, whenever I go back to my parents, I always get this kind of Breton cider because they've got it in plenty of supply. So I like it generally. I think in the past we would have given this a higher mark, but now we're used to more different kinds of cider. We're maybe a bit more sophisticated in our taste, would you say that?
I think we're certainly more experienced in the variety out there.
The smell doesn't smell too nice, does it?
It's an odd smell to it.
But it's got that standard sweet tang with a hint of kind of dryness at the end.
The taste is good.
Not much of an aftertaste, maybe you're right about that. Mm. But I'm happily give that an 8.
I was going to go 7.5.
Okay.
Mainly, so. I'll say my reasoning as well. So if it did have a bit more of an aftertaste, that would possibly be enough to bring it up to an 8. Because it's nice initially, but then it just kind of disappears. To me, the taste just disappears too quickly.
I see what you mean. I think with other French cider, because this isn't as fizzy as other French ciders we've had. Both Breton and Norman.
I mean, it fizzed up a lot when we poured it out, but it isn't.
But in some ways I like that, but in other ways I think French cider, when it gives you more of an aftertaste because it's quite fizzy at the end, so it's... But 7.75, not bad.
Yes. Well, thanks to your dad. And if he could bring back some more bottles of this for me next time he's in France, that would be great.
He's got plenty of bottles, don't worry about that.
Place another order. So I think there's two more bottles that he's brought back for us.
Yeah.
So it would be good to try them out. Is there anything of interest? I know he took his time to write a label for each one.
He did, but I just wrote it out and pretended that I was...
Knowledge. You decided to take the credit for your dad's work of describing the ciders that he was so kind.
Well, he's just saying it's a local farmer that goes and sells at the market, and that's where he got it.
Okay, cool.
But it's proper Cidre artisan cider. Anyway, that was good.
Nice French.
So next we go to the big growler.
Okay, so here we have 2 litres of Thistley Crosses Jaggy Thistle. Now, 2 parts to this. There's the cider and there's the 2 litres of it. So let's start with the cider. We've mentioned this on the show a few times. We've even tried it on the show, haven't we? Sort of.
Yeah. In episode 10, whilst we're at the Thistley Cross Jaggy Thistle, the snake bite launch party.
Peter, after our interview with Peter, the cider maker from Thistley Cross, at the snake bite launch party, yes, he did give us some of this to try. Now, we had quite a bit of the snake bite beforehand, so it may have clouded our cider tastes on it. And I do remember trying it in the cellar of the Brauhaus even. So it'll be good to actually properly try it on the show and see what we think.
When we're a bit more lucid.
Yes, now we're in our cider tasting mood.
Yeah.
Now, there's 2 litres of it here. And it's in a very
Can I open it whilst you tell this monologue
brother.
Of a story?
I want to open it. It's in a very large 2-litre, what looks like pretty much an oversized beer bottle. But it is in fact a growler.
Pour and talk.
Now, here we go. I'm holding this thing with two hands here. It's so bloody massive. So as I pour out this Jaggy Thistle.
More?
Ugh. I suppose we do have 2 litres of it. I can't be too stingy. That'll do for now. I can top you up later. So we've mentioned growlers in the past because there's a company that's just opened up in Edinburgh, as you've just now started drinking the cider before we've got to our tasting part of it.
Yeah, but it's really nice.
Okay, we'll come to that. So Growler Beers is a store, shop thing that's opened up in Morningside. It's not a pub, it's not an off-licence. It's Britain's first growler shop, which basically allows you to go in, choose from a wide selection of real ales and ciders.
Real ciders,
proper ciders. And you can then basically get a 1, 2, or 3 litre growler, which is basically a big beer bottle, filled up, and you can take it home to drink. So it's the first of its kind in, possibly Britain, definitely Edinburgh. And slight disclaimer, I have done the website, but either way, this would be getting full coverage on our show because it's so different from the cider world.
It's unique, and you can get good real cider there, which we did.
Yes.
Or you did.
At the moment, cider-wise, they've just got Thistlecross Jaggy Thistle, as that's what we're just about to try, and Thistlecross Strawberry, but I am aware that they have Gwinty Drygs, Fiery Fox, and Black Dragon in the wings. So
get yourself down to Morningside.
Get yourself down to Morningside.
It's 226 Morningside.
229.
229, close enough.
But it's just this side of the Canny Man.
This side of the Canny Man.
Well, as in like...
this side of the Canny Man. As there in, you are, listeners. As in, this side of the Canny Man's pub.
Well, as in like it's the centre side of the Canny Man.
Right.
So...
good idea, good cider, good beer. Go there.
It's going to be, it's going to be fun to see what they've got in the
We've
future.
Already poured some Jaggy Thistle.
So let's...
and we're having it again. And I've already drank some.
Right. So let's officially taste Thistlecross's Jaggy Thistle.
Top class. It tastes like a beautiful apple juice.
Yes. No, it is very, very apple juice-like, because it's still, obviously. Because this is Thistlecross's only camera specification real cider. That's really the whole point, the whole reason they made this cider, is to make a cider strictly to camera's specification.
So it's much less sweet than the usual Thistlecross, although it's still quite sweet.
Yeah, see, it's still sweet. And I remember Peter mentioned something about it being drier. But it's really nice. It is just like apple juice. But as my taste buds, as we all know, are going slowly towards the drier kind of ciders.
Yeah.
So I would be really interested to try an even drier Thistlecross. I'm not saying a dry one, but something, because this is still sweet, even though it's only... Is this meant to be dry? What is this meant to be?
No, I think Peter explained last time in episode 10 that there was some kind of false dryness to it or a false sweetness to it because of the mouthfeel it creates.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's very subtle. It's very subtle, but on the very simple level, it tastes like a beautiful apple juice.
It does. I like your description of it, then. I mean, it's very...
You still do get a lot of subtle things at the end that make it feel a bit drier. Maybe that's what he was trying to explain last time. And it really is unique. I don't think there's any other cider that's as still as this.
A cider is either still or it's not still. It can't be even stiller than still.
No, but you can get one that's very, very lightly sparkling. Even ones that are classed as still that still have an element of... there's a slight sparkle that's generated in the bottle. I'm thinking Double Ale Real Cider.
I can't remember the carbonation of that.
Well, because we've got this on draft, essentially, because the growler was filled up from a draft tap.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like where you've got bottles of real cider that naturally ferment in the bottle and generate a bit of carbonation. I sound like I know what I'm talking about now.
But that's true. But if that's... is the case, and it is still lightly sparkling because of that, it's not going to be labelled as still. This is definitely still. I like my still cider. So this is, it very much still has the Thistlecross kind of taste to it.
Yeah, at the start.
Which is why it's so different to your other kind of real ciders.
At the start you taste Thistlecross and you taste that little bit of sweetness, and then it goes dry and it starts going a bit all over the place. In a similar way to French cider does, but in a much more subtle way. it's got dry elements and sweet elements and all sorts of different elements going on, but it's a much more refined taste than French cider, I would say.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. It's, yeah, definitely more... Well, yes, I agree. I agree.
Now, at this juncture, we would grade them. And this is where we have to discuss our league table, I think.
Okay.
Because I'm going to give this a grade, which is a 9.
Okay.
Now, regardless of what grade you give it, this is going to end up being classed as a worse grade than the Thistle Cross original. But this is a better cider than the Thistle Cross original.
I agree.
And it's just because, as time goes by, we grade ciders differently. So we're going to keep the league table as it is.
Right.
But we're going to bear in mind that our favourite ciders will change over time. So if we were to regrade everything today, the league table would look very different. But I'm going to give this a 9 today, is my point.
Okay. So does that mean it can go on the league table, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, everything's going in the league table as it's graded.
Right, okay, I see what you're saying. So you're just saying that we can't directly compare the grades because things are changing over time.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. That's
because I think the two reasons that our grades are possibly kind of changing over time. One is that I know certainly I'm kind of now preferring the drier ciders, which I wasn't originally. But equally, some of the ciders which we really, really liked before, we've had so much of that we're almost getting bored of them in a way.
Yeah.
So there's those two side of things. So yes, I mean, I was before you said 9, I was going to give this an 8.5.
8.5.
Just because it's see if there was a drier version of it.
Okay.
From what I've been saying, I think I would have graded it a wee bit higher. But it's really nice, and I really recommend that everyone gets down to growler beers and gets themselves a growler of it. It's open. Growler's open from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. every day of the week, by the way. So
I think that's enough free advertising for your client.
No. As I explained, this is an amazing thing to happen
it
for
is,
cider.
It is great. And the one thing I'll say about it as well, it's almost perfect for cider because it goes back to the old traditions of cider, taking a jug to the farm and filling up on a jug of scrumpy.
Aye.
And this is essentially what you're doing because you can take your growler back and get whatever new cider he's got in the next week.
It's like having several cider farms in a single shop because you can just try the various ciders and then choose which one you want to take a big jug home of. So it works nicely.
The one thing I'd say about the Jaggy Thistle, though, it is dangerous because you could drink a lot of that.
Yeah,
it's
I think
very
it's
strong.
7.4 the Jaggy Thistle is.
And you would not think it at
and it
all.
And it is quite easy to drink.
But it is a beautiful drink. Well, 8.75, I'm surprised. I think it should be higher grade than that, but 8.75, it's still high. So that's three good ciders. We've had a Scottish, an English, and a French. All real ciders, but all very different in their own unique ways.
Yeah.
True to their own selves. So we've got a Scottish cider that's very true to Thistle Cross's own agendas, but also meets the definitions of real cider. A very stereotypical Breton cider, very nice. And the usual Dunkerton's cider, which is very Dunkerton's, but very good as well and ticks all the boxes for us. So that's a good batch.
Good
fridge.
Batch. Yes.
So, any news this week?
Well, I think we should start talking about the cider map. Because...
Cider map?
The last...
No.
Yes.
Cider map isn't news.
Yes, it is news.
All right, okay.
Because last week I left our listeners on tenterhooks, remember? I teased that there was some news coming up about our cider map.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Good.
I think you told me, though, afterwards. So.
So I would like to, therefore, officially launch the Edinburgh Cider Map web app.
The Edinburgh Cider Map web app.
Yes, it's what a ringing name it has, I know. Basically what this means is the Edinburgh Cider Map you can now install on your phone and launch it from your home screen, just like it was a kind of native app. So it gives you the map full screen, but it also now, with the tap of a button, shows you your current location, allowing you to easily locate the nearest cider pub to you.
And how would I download this, IT?
So, you can do it now if you get your phone out. Everyone who is in Edinburgh who likes cider should get their phones out now.
As long as you're not driving.
As long as you're not driving. And do the following. It's as simple as opening up Safari.
You might not have Safari, IT. What would you do if you didn't have Safari?
No. Well, okay, I should start by saying, on iPhones, do this. On anything else, do it as it works on that kind of device. Right. On an iPhone, open up Safari. and go to map.ciderview.com.
Do you have to go to that specific website or do you go to our website?
No,
first?
You go straight to map.ciderview.com.
Map.ciderview.com.
Yes. And when the map loads up, you tap on the icon at the bottom in the middle, the share icon. And it'll pop up, and one of the options at the bottom is add to home screen. Tap on that, then tap on add. Now you have your icon on your home screen, which you can launch and easily get to the Cider map whenever you are about, out and about.
I think you did this in my phone because I can't. I've not been able to follow your instructions.
If you're like Neil and are struggling to follow my instructions, do head on to our website at ciderview.com. And if you hit the map page, you'll see that I've got a link to how to add it to your phone. It's very straightforward. You literally go to map.ciderview.com and add it to your home screen. That's all you need to do.
Oh, you've actually got a wee instruction page on the website
yes,
as well.
Yes, exactly. I do. I've also actually added a link to each pub on the map that allows you to report any changes.
That's useful.
So if you're in a pub that we've got on our map, or even if you're in a pub that's not on our map and you'd like to let us know what cider there is, tap the link, although it wouldn't exist if we... Yeah, but anyway, tap the link and let us know what's changed.
And we do make corrections. We do make corrections and changes as we discover them.
We do. Like, for example, we had a tweet from Alistair Forbes, and he said that he was in the Grosvenor, if I pronounce it.
The Grosvenor.
Right. It's without the S, isn't it? And the Grosvenor on Shamrock Place the other week. Now, I remember we mentioned this on last month's show because it had quite a decent range of stuff. It had your Thistle Cross on draft, it had the Hazy Hog, which we'd never seen before, Thatcher's Katie, and even Aspals on draft. Well, he's been there, and apparently all it sells now is Aspals on draft and Stella Sidra.
And we took his word for it.
Which is a big shame. Do let us know if there's any tweaks to the cider map. But that is the Edinburgh Cider Map web app, which should be a lot more useful when you're out and about in Edinburgh to be able to track down.
So that's cider news and the cider map.
Cider.
So, see, now you've messed up with the agenda of the show. So do I continue talking about the cider map?
No, I haven't finished talking about cider news yet.
All right, so what's the other cider news, IT?
So a couple of little things. McIver's cider. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
We came across that when we were out in the West End. Morrison Street. Is Morrison Street kind of the West End?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, it has apparently won the National Trust Fine Farm Produce Award, which is interesting to know.
McIver cider. Is that not an Irish one?
Yes, it is.
And it's won the National Trust Award.
Yeah.
I can't remember it being... I thought it was okay.
We had had quite a few ciders that by the time we came across it that night.
It'd be good
to try it again. Good to know. It's from Armagh. And lastly, Susie Atkins from The Telegraph has put together her top three ciders, English ciders, that you can find in the supermarkets.
Okay.
So I thought this was interesting for our listeners to be able to get hold of some proper cider with relative ease.
So this is strictly English cider?
This is English ciders, yes. This is okay. Just English ciders that you can find in supermarkets. Now, it's probably... it's not too bad. So she starts off with the Tesco Finest Oak Matured Still Cider, which is actually made by Weston's.
Okay.
Now, I've actually got a bottle of it next door. I completely missed it with still, actually, because we've been avoiding trying it in the show because we think it's just going to be similar to Weston's. But being still, I might actually favour. Second on the list, she has got Orchard Pig Truffler, which is 6%.
Orchard Pig Truffler, is that... Did we have that last show?
Was it the Truffler? There's so many Orchard Pigs.
Well,
we had
an Orchard Pig last week.
Reveller, Truffler, and another one. Pig Charmer.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. It wasn't fantastic.
I can't remember if we had the Charmer.
I mean, these ciders are okay, the ones she's talking about.
Well, you haven't tried the Weston's Matured
Cider. Yeah, but you know what it'd be like. I mean, it's not going to be better than Dunkerton's, is it?
It's different to Dunkerton's.
It's not different, it's worse.
It's still. But you can't buy Dunkerton's in the supermarket. It's the whole point in this list.
Well, you can't.
Not as regularly
anyway,
as you,
right,
as
next,
you can
these
what's
third?
And third is Sainsbury's Original Somerset Cider, which is one we haven't definitely tried. Now, I have read good things about the ones that Sainsbury's sell under their own name. This one in particular is a 4.5% one, but it's made by Thatcher's. So it'll be interesting to track that one down too.
See, a lot of these ciders are all supermarket branding but they're made by Thatcher's or Weston's,
yes.
So they're not going to be any different, really, to the usual Thatcher's, Weston's, Henny's, or whatever brand it is that you're trying.
No, they are different.
But they're not going to be any better.
That's, yeah, but that's not really the point. The point is that we've got three ciders. They're not, this isn't ciders that have got the name of the supermarket written on the front of them. This is a list of ciders that you can actually get quite easily in supermarkets.
Yes, but you can get Westons quite easily in supermarkets. You don't need to get the specific Westons that they're talking about.
Or perhaps she prefers that one to the...
Well, maybe she does. Fair enough.
Because being still, I can see me preferring that one to your standard Weston.
Okay, so what was the still one that she mentioned first?
It was the Tesco Finest Oaks Matured Still Cider.
Okay, well, we've
got a bottle. We do have a bottle through the back.
We'll try that next show or maybe the show after or something. Uh-huh. And everyone else should give it a try.
Yes.
If this... What's her name?
Susie Atkins.
Susie Atkins. What's her qualifications? Is she qualified to make this, or is she just a run-of-the-mill person like us?
Well, shouldn't matter either way, should it? If she likes her cider...
Yeah, no, you're right.
And so three proper ciders there that you can pick up in supermarkets.
Okay, very good. Any more news?
That be the news for this broadcast.
For this broadcast, yeah. So at this juncture, we would talk about the cider map, usually, which we've already discussed.
But I didn't realise it was a regular feature.
The cider map.
Mm.
Well, we talk about what pubs we've reviewed, and then we talk about the cider map in the same context.
Yeah, okay. So,
I suppose we've got the news of the map, which is the web app map launch.
Yep.
So now we're going to talk about the recent updates to the map. And this is based on our journey to Broughton Street.
Yeah,
and surrounding areas on Friday.
We did Broughton Street on Friday. To be honest, there's not much to speak about. I was really disappointed in the majority of them. The one which does stand out is the Barony Bar, which had Weston's Old Rosie on draft and Weston's Wildwood in bottles.
Yeah, I mean, right, let's just qualify this. Broughton Street is very good for pubs. There are some very, very good pubs in Broughton Street. It's probably one of the best areas to go for good variety of pubs that could tick everyone's box. Everyone will find a pub in Broughton Street that they like, with the possible exception of cider drinkers.
Yeah.
So the cider was disappointing, with the notable exception of the Barony, who's got Old Rosie and...
Old Rosie on draft and Wildwood in bottles. But that's partly why, from what you're saying, that's partly why I was even more disappointed in a way, because there's all these great pubs, and a lot of them clearly go out of their way to get in some great, completely different real ales and things, but then have not a single cider. I think there was one place, was it the Cask and Barrel, that clearly... really strongly would have regular different relays and everything.
I don't think the Cask and Barrel's fully up in relay. Yeah,
the only cider they had was Stoford Press. So it's like, you'd think a place like that would at least do something, have a single cider on amongst all their different ales. So that's just why I find it even more disappointing than normal.
I understand what you're saying. Thing is, I was talking to one of the pubs we didn't go into, which is more down in Cannon Mills area, where I've just moved to. Pub called The Other Place, and I was talking to the barman in there, and he knows about real cider. He knows what good cider is, and he likes it, but he just can't sell it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in a pub and you're in the Cask and Barrel's it's a very well known pub in Edinburgh. They know how to make money, so it's a business first and foremost. Now we've got our campaign for proper cider. We want to get proper cider in pubs as much as possible to promote it. It's nicer stuff. We like to drink it. But you've still got to make business decisions, don't you?
Yeah, but no, I think part of that is, in order to get it into pubs, we need to get people to like it. It won't work the other way around.
The truth is, people do like it.
Yeah.
If ever, I mean, I've introduced people to...
Or should I say, not to like it, but to discover it.
Jolly Judge, perfect example. Whenever I've introduced people to the Jolly Judge's, whatever cider they've got on draft, people immediately like it, so... There's a lesson in there for everyone.
So how come the Jolly Judge are getting on? That's the question over all this. The Jolly Judge, a little tiny place, back streets of Royal Mile, regularly got decent real ciders on.
And they've always got people in there. And it's not easily found or easily got to.
Exactly.
So they manage it.
Yeah.
So maybe people can. But different clientele. Different pubs have different clientele. They've got their own business decisions to make, so...
No, we agree why, but we can't complain, because if we attack the angle of getting people to discover real cider, then more people will be after it in pubs. That means that it would become economical for pubs to start properly selling real cider. So that's when Growlers comes into
And that's where Growlers helps with this.
It does a lot.
Because people realise how much they like it.
And it makes it a lot more accessible. We've now at least kind of got somewhere in Edinburgh that is making real cider accessible and allows people to just take it home and try different ones. So hopefully we will start seeing proper cider in pubs at some point.
We should do. I'm sure it will grow over time as well. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was our jaunt to Broughton Street and surrounding areas. That was a nice evening, but not the best for our cider.
It's all surveyed, though. It's all about noting down where there is and where there isn't cider.
Yes. So, that's the cider map, done and dusted. Are we getting any correspondence this week?
Well, I would like to start off with Cider House Rules.
Oh, it's Cider House Rules. Yeah, the Australian podcast got in touch with us again. They'd mentioned us on their show again. Obviously, they've got nothing better to talk about. They need to talk about their bigger and better rivals in the cider podcasting world. Turns out, one of our listeners had emailed them with some nonsense email. And so just to try and provoke this rivalry thing going on, there's a lot of nonsense. It was pretty funny, right? They've got a funny show and they know how to make comedy podcasts, so fair enough, they did their thing. But they've now resorted to that level, so technically I can say whatever I want about them and I don't feel bad.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, we've had a letter from someone that used to share a house with Aidan.
Have we seriously had a letter?
No, we haven't.
Oh,
I thought I'd just worry them.
You got me really excited there, that would have been delightful.
No, because I mean, even if we did get a letter, I don't think we'd stoop as low as them. We've got more important things to discuss, like cider, as you say.
We do. We're a more serious podcast. We're a more classy podcast, would you say? But one thing we are going to do an international cider exchange. So we've actually been talking about what cider. So we're going to send the Australians some cider, and they're going to send us some Australian cider. So we've actually been thinking about the best sort of six bottles or whatever to send them.
Yeah.
In terms of Scottish and English cider. And this is why we had the discussion earlier about the league table, because we wouldn't necessarily go for the top six in our league table.
Yeah, true.
We would pick specific ones that we think are good.
And different amongst themselves.
You've got to remember, though, the Australians want very sophisticated taste buds, so
that's true.
You might not appreciate it. But anyway, so we'll have an international cider exchange, which should be exciting.
We shall. So once we've worked out the logistics of sending bottles of cider all the way to Australia in one piece, hopefully they'll be able to do the same, and we shall have some Australian cider to try on the show.
We will do.
So we will get that sorted out, Aidan and Matt, if you're listening, before the next show.
Any other correspondence?
A couple more, actually. Yes, we had an email from Oliver Carr.
Oliver Carr?
Yes. He stumbled across our podcast. And he's from Herefordshire.
Herefordshire. How many times have we said Herefordshire in the podcast and you still can't pronounce it?
Herefordshire.
Herefordshire.
So he's from down south somewhere.
He's from England.
Yep. And he recently came across the blurb that I wrote on our website regarding proper cider.
Right.
Which was basically a summary outlining our thoughts on proper cider and basically just listing what isn't proper cider.
Yes.
One of those that I put on was Stoford Press. Now, he's taken great pain to seeing Stoford Press listed as a non-proper cider because it's his favourite cider when he's back in the UK. No, hold on. I'm confused. No, that's right. No, he is from Herefordshire, but he lives in France. So, yes, Stoford Press is his favourite cider in pubs when he's back in England. And it says it is a real cider that's made from fermented apples, not concentrates such as Bulmers, Magners, etc.
We disagree with him.
Now, yeah, see, I'm basing the reason that Stoford Press is on that list. It comes from various places. We've got the Real Cider website lists it as one of their non-real ciders. We've got the UK Cider Wiki, which says that it's a low poor quality cider like Strongbow.
And it doesn't taste very nice.
And then,
more importantly,
we did try it the other night.
It tastes like a slightly more sophisticated fizzy Strongbow. That's why we're not calling it real cider, because it's clearly not real.
And
it's not a proper. It's neither a crafted cider nor a real cider. Therefore, it's not a proper cider.
You're coming across a bit. I'm not being aggressive.
I'm just saying, because you're going in your usual monologue about all the different reasons why. The bottom line is, it's not proper science.
No. I'm backing it up with facts that it's not just us making that decision.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's quite clear. Like, one, it's mass produced, right? So therefore, it's got to meet a real specification or be a well crafted product to be a proper cider. It meets neither of those definitions.
Because also on the Brass Monkey on Leith, I seem to remember in there they had a decent selection of cider. One of theirs was Stoford Press, and in their list of drinks, it actually says Stoford Press for the strongbowers.
For the strongbowers.
So I'm sorry, Ollie, but
you're wrong.
It's no.
Thanks for listening to the show. your thoughts are very welcome, but on this occasion, you're wrong. But I tell you what, Ollie, it doesn't matter if you like it. Keep drinking it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we are not saying don't drink.
It's not the worst cider. By a long shot, but it's certainly not the best.
Preferred non-proper cider. But I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's referring to a completely different Stoford Press. Maybe there's a proper Stoford Press out there. But he does mention that some of his other favourites are the Wesson's Oak Age Medium, Watkins, which had Yarlington Mill over the week, Quinty Drags, and he also mentions the Dunkerton's Perry. So he's clearly got good cider tastes. It's just interesting how our opinions on Stoford Press differ.
Ugh, but we all like a different. Like, even I've been known to have a Copperberg now and again. It's been a long time, right enough. But we all have our weaknesses.
So thanks for your email, Ollie. And I hope you're enjoying the podcast, actually, because you said you were just about to start listening.
Yeah, you've got 17 shows to go through now.
Yes. Might be another 6 months before I get to listen to this one.
Any further correspondence?
Lastly, I actually want to touch on one of your friends, James T. Harding.
James T. Harding.
Yes. He tweeted us about the fact that the Lib Dems want to change the definition of cider.
The Lib Dems?
Yes.
Am I allowed to give my thoughts on Lib Dems?
No, because this is not a politics show.
It's not a political podcast.
No. But what I found interesting is basically the Lib Dems want to reclassify cider. At the moment, cider, in order to be cider, it needs to have 35% of the product to be from apple juice.
Yes.
But the Lib Dems want it to be, say, something like 75%. Because what that would mean is that the manufacturers of the kind of high-volume, low-quality stuff, like your Strongbow and things, they would end up having to either significantly increase the quality of what they're making or pay duty at their considerably higher rates. Because the basically the wine rates. So what they're saying, if you're sounding confused now, is that...
I am confused.
Okay, if something has got, say, over 70% apples, then it's cider, which means that the duty rates are less. If it's less than 70%, then it gets taxed on the wine rates, which are higher.
So that means poorer cider gets classed as wine?
Yes.
That's
what the Lib Dems are saying.
It's an interesting idea.
So it's almost like a tax for crap cider.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which I like, because anything like that is going to push either the poor quality cider makers to make something better.
Well, it sounds like a good idea, but you see, what the Lib Dems say and what the Lib Dems do is a very different thing, so...
Let's not get into that.
No, but it's a worthwhile point making. It
yes. Like, no, but thanks, James, for sending that over. Because
thanks for pointing it out.
If that were to go ahead, it would really help our proper cider campaign.
It would. Good policy. Bad politicians.
It's anyway, not a political show.
Quite a bit of correspondence there, but we've had a month, so it's not surprising. Is there any further issues we need to discuss in this podcast?
No, I think that'd be all for this week. So please do check out our new and improved cider map and get on installed as your web app on your phone. Let us know your Android users. It should be. I believe you can do the same on Android. So let us know how you get on with that. Also, don't forget to send us your cider suggestions for more to try, because we're quite steadily getting through our range of ciders that I've got waiting to be tried on the show. So if you've got any further suggestions, we are more than welcome to track them down and give them a try. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter, especially to see the photo of the size of this growler with our jaggy thistle.
Okay, so thanks for listening to the IT's podcast on the Edinburgh side of you.
It is indeed.
And we'll see you next time.
The one that does all the research. Goodbye.